This morning, we have a privilege to hear from a dear friend. Last Sunday, New Year's Eve, I had the privilege, along with my wife Melissa, of being over in Titusville, Florida, at Trinity Fellowship Church. Trinity Fellowship is a longtime church friend, if you will, of Metro Life Church. Tim and Kim Merwin are no strangers here. They both grew up in the area. Now what is my local 7-Eleven was Kim's local 7-Eleven a few years ago, and it was just a privilege to be there last week with them, to know that this isn't just a church over on the coast. This is a church we are in relationship with. This is a church we are in partnership with, and you'll just be hearing more and more about that as we go through 2018. Metro Life Church is not an independent church all by itself on an island. No, we are in meaningful partnership and relationship with a small, Lord willing, growing group of churches who share, yes, an affirmation of faith, but who share life and ministry and mission together. And so it's my joy to have Tim come in just a moment. Before he does, no hardship for me at all. In fact, it's a joy to promote to you. It's not every Sunday we get to have a guy up in the pulpit who's also an author. And out in the lobby is Tim's book, Esther's Gospel, The God Who Is There. I've read this book, and I love it for a couple of reasons. Number one, there's not a whole lot out there on the book of Esther. How many of you finished up your devotional reading plan in 2017 in the book of Esther? Right. How many of you started your 2018 plan in the book of Esther? Right. So I want to encourage you that this is an outstanding resource, and I think it'll only be all the better on the other side of you hearing if you've never heard Tim preach. You'll hear his voice as you read the pages, and I love it because it's written by a pastor, meaning it's not too thick. It doesn't take 50 pages to affirm that it belongs in the Bible and all the authorship and all those things. It just gets right to the heart of the matter. Why is this book in our Bible? So I want to commend that to you. And I imagine, you know, for a small extra couple of bucks, Tim will even autograph it for you in the lobby later today. So I'd encourage you to pick that up. So Tim and Kim, thank you for having Melissa and I over to your house, both houses, your church house and your house, last Sunday. And thank you for coming and returning the kindness here. If it was a kindness last week, thank you for returning the kindness this week. Can we welcome Tim?
Oh, it's so good to be with you, Metro. Thank you, Aaron, and thank you to the elders here at Metro. It really is. It's a unique privilege. It's the first Sunday of 2018. It's an honor. It is a genuine privilege to be in your pulpit on the first Sunday of the year. Happy New Year to you, Metro Life Church. It was a cold week. Everybody survive our winter. Tomorrow we'll be in the 70s. We'll be back into our spring. How many of you enjoyed the week of winter? All right, good number of us. I loved our week of winter. It is kind of funny, right? Like as all but 3 years of my life, I've lived in Florida, so I consider myself a Floridian. I am as flatlander as they come. It is kind of funny because, right, just previous summer, we've got all the hurricane activity. Last year, we had the hurricane activity. I was, of course, around when we had Charlie and Francis and all the others. Right, we're Floridians. We bear up to hurricanes and all the chatter when it gets down to below 40 just becomes hilarious. The comparisons are fun. Let's turn in our Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, and going to be reading from the ESV and beginning in verse number 3. We'll read our text and pray, and we'll launch into the sermon this morning. Paul to the Philippians says these words: I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Let's pause and pray to our God. God, thank you for how you have already spoken to our hearts. Lord, thank you for the new thing that you do in our lives, Lord, that really points to the old thing you've already done on the cross. Lord, thank you for the joy that fills our hearts. Lord, as we walk into a gathering like this, as we walk into this auditorium and we begin to sing songs of worship, seeking to glorify you this the first Sunday of 2018. Father, thank you for the partnership that already exists in the building this morning. Lord, thank you for things like men's breakfast and trail life and the heritage program. Lord, thank you for just doing life together, centered around what you've accomplished in our salvation, bringing us from darkness to light. And Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be able to open your word and to preach from the Bible, from your word, Lord. And I pray that you would guide my words to be focused and centered on this being your word, Lord, because we want to hear from you this morning. We want to hear from your word this morning. God, be exalted, be lifted on high in your church this day, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Ben Cohen, Jerry Greenfield did the world a favor via their partnership. Ben demanded there must be a chunky texture. Jerry insisted on a rich taste, which equaled ice cream bliss. Ben and Jerry's ice cream. Ben and Jerry's partnership made the world a better place with chunks of fudge, brownie, and chocolate chip cookie dough. John Lennon and Paul McCartney started writing songs, but from the beginning, they had no idea how far their partnership would eventually take them. The Beatles remain as one of the most influential bands in all of history. Lennon and McCartney's partnership was the driving force behind the sound that changed popular music forever. Wilbur and Orville Wright started by fixing bicycles. But in 1903, they developed the three-axis controls that made flying a fixed-wing aircraft possible. Consider the impact of their partnership on air travel today. Today we think nothing of hopping on a plane and flying to Minnesota or Bolivia or Haiti. Actually, their partnership back in 1903 makes aspects of our partnership today possible. Traveling to places like Bolivia or India, as some of you have done. These partnerships and countless more have changed the world. Ice cream, music, and air travel. Now, I wouldn't be saying this morning that Grace Partnership is going to be the next Beatles. But I do want you to consider what our partnership consists of. Or what is it that makes our partnership possible? No, we're not driven to make ice cream or to make ice cream better. As wonderful as music and ice cream and air travel is, they really pale in comparison to what drives us, to what drives Grace Partnership. We're driven by something eternal. We're driven by something that, well, it actually drove God. God the Father was driven to send his son. Christ was driven out of his love to die on the cross. The Spirit is driven to bring about our regeneration. And we are driven out of that to partner together for something that outside of us, humanly speaking, is humanly impossible. We are completely, humanly speaking, unable to accomplish what it is that we desire, and yet something that I believe it is God's desire to accomplish through us. So that someday we might be able to look at our partnership and stand back and be able to say, look what the Lord has done. Not look what Grace Partnership has done, not look at what we have done, not look at what our individual churches have done, but let's look at what the Lord has done. What does our partnership consist of that I could make those kind of bold statements? The gospel. The gospel. Gospel advancement. Lost people coming to know Jesus Christ at Metro, at Trinity Community Church, in Mineota, in Bolivia, places that we don't even know to mention this morning because we don't even know that we're going there in the years to come. But a partnership that is rooted in the gospel. What moves Paul to pen these words? And I try to imagine Paul in his house prison. I try to imagine what that looks like. And I just kind of imagine him on a slab floor, back up against the wall, literally, bruised back, taking out pen and penning these words to the Philippians. Why is he remembering what he's remembering? What makes him grateful as he speaks of that thankfulness, that gratitude, to the point that he just seems to spontaneously burst out of these memories? He bursts into this joy and into prayer for the Philippians. And I think the answer is that it's a partnership that he's got with the Philippians that is rooted in the gospel. So I have 4 points for us this morning. And the first one is this. Gospel partnership begins with the local church. Okay, now here's what I want to say kind of at the outset, because that's not Paul's point of the text. It's not that we can look here and he's making a comment about the local church. But I do want us to see that's in the backdrop, if you will. As he takes out the canvas and he's going to paint this partnership with the Philippians, there's something that's in the background that maybe you don't even notice, you don't even recognize. It's just kind of back there. It's not the main part of the canvas, the painting that he's artistically drawing here. But it is in the backdrop. He's writing to a local church. He's writing to this church, the Philippians. And I think it's important for us to note that. Paul writes to this local church. And I think it would help us to think through the context that Paul writes. He begins the letter. It's to the saints who are in Philippi with the overseers and the deacons. And grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Philippian church. It's a local church. It's a church he's got time with. We'll look at later from Acts 16. He's invested time there. It's a church he's clearly very fond of, in love with. It's a local church, and that's important in that before there's a partnership, there are local churches. Local becomes before the partnership. There must be a priority placed on the local church. Partnerships are only as good as the local churches that make them up, that comprise them. Or we could say that the partnership will never be better than the local churches that comprise them. And so, really, it's in your best interest that Trinity Community Church grows and grows healthy in the coming years. And it's in our interest that Metro is doing well and, and that we're praying for each other, and that our hearts are linked together as we consider, well, we're local churches first that have joined together in partnership. What does this mean as we transition in a moment to the main points that I think Paul is making in the text? It means this. It means Metro. It means Trinity. Be committed to your local church. It means give to your local church. It means serve your local church. It means thank the folks who are, as Aaron already mentioned, who are serving in the children's ministry this morning. It means get involved in your local church. It means, for those of you who perhaps have been attending for a while, perhaps it means, you know what, it's time for you to make a commitment and to consider membership here at Metro, to become a part of a local church. And I say that from Trinity's aspect, because I'm jealous for Metro to continue to grow healthy in your partnership here locally. It's in our interest that you do so. This local church needs you, and it needs you to be all in, because partnership begins with the local church. Number two, partnership. Gospel partnership stirs gratitude and prayer and joy. I thank my God in all my remembrance. It's amazing to consider. Here's Paul just thinking of these folks. I would imagine he's thinking of specific individuals. In all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making my prayer with joy. Now, first thing we need to note is this is not Paul just kind of throwing out just nice sentiment. This is not just a kind way to introduce a letter. This is the heart of this man, the Apostle Paul. This isn't Paul looking at the Philippians as if they're some sort of project, or that he's coming to them with some sort of task to complete, or that there's some sort of means to an end. This speaks of the relationship between this, the Apostle Paul, and this local church there in Philippi. The people in Philippi are not a number to him. They are faces. They are individuals. I would imagine these are people that he shed tears with. People matter to Paul. And so because people matter to Paul, it seems to me like this just spontaneously just turns his heart into prayer for them. As he's remembering them, he's joyful about them, he's full of thankfulness, gratitude for them, and that stirs him to immediately pray for them. Prayer is what spills out of Paul when he remembers these people. His affection for them is communicated a few verses later in verse 7. It is right for me to feel this way about you all because, what? I hold you in my heart. These are not token phrases. These are not just kind of toss out nice sentiment. This is the heart of this man for these people. Best way I can describe this is through my wife's and I current season of life. We've got two children still at home. One turns 13 this week, and then a 17-year-old at home, and then our two older children, 21 and 23. Daughter is the older, and then our son are both married and out of the house. And just for those of you who know what that's like when children get married and move out of the house. Now, by God's grace, and we don't know for how long we get to experience this privilege, and I'm sorry for those of you who don't have this privilege, but for right now, both of our adult children who are married out of the house live in Titusville. Sorry. So we get to see them regularly. They're all in church this morning, serving in our church this morning, but we get to see them regularly, but you know it's different though, right? So most mornings I'm making eggs in the morning, and And when my daughter was at home, she was usually the first one up and be able to greet her and good morning and that tired good morning response. And just you don't get that anymore. And so what I find is that at different times, I'm just driving down the road and something triggers in my mind. And I just spontaneously think of my children that I don't get to see every day. And I'm filled with gratitude as I remember them. There's a sense of joy. No, things went wrong in our house too. Like we sinned all over the living room too. And there's a lot of things that you could recount that didn't go well. It didn't go quite as we planned or expected or this or that or the next thing. And yet, my heart spills out with joy and gratitude and just spontaneously, not planned, not thought through. I'm in prayer for my kids. That's the sense that I get here from Paul. He's done life with these people, and his heart of affection is being spilled out as he does. He holds them in his heart. None of that takes effort. It's not forced. Often it's just what spills out, and it spills out on the page of this letter. Because that's what's in his heart. That's what's in, I hope, I trust, I pray. As we talk about partnership, that's what's in our hearts for each other. Because we're a family. And we've done life together. Good and bad. And I feel that way towards our partnership of churches. It's not exclusive to those churches. But I do want to say to you, Metro, for so many of you, we've shared life together. We have shared life together. And I'm so grateful for that. I was thinking, just as we were singing, just the different times where I was just thinking, I've got tears in your carpet. There's been different times when been able to pray with some of you. You've put tears into the carpet and we've cried together. I don't know how many times that during my sick years, for those of you who don't know me, I had just a lot of my adult life was spent sick. And just the number of times here at a conference and regularly, Danny Jones would call me to the front and Metro, let's pray again. And I would drop tears into your carpet. And I'm well today. Thank you. Actually, that's helpful because Kim always tells me, you forgot to tell them that you're well today. I am very well. Thank you. Actually, Aaron was reminding us as a church last week, just when I was in the hospital, July 2011, and Danny wasn't doing all that well, kind of on that front end in some ways, and he came to visit me in the hospital, and at that same hospital trip, Lewis Seifert came, so I was in his hospital, and Derek Wally on his break came and Tim, let's get you out of bed and let's go for a walk together. Really, Derek, we're gonna go for a walk. And I'm moving that silly thing and I'm hardly moving and I'm embarrassed about this and just we've shared life together. My goodness, just looking around the room. There's history here. Chris Yates did our wedding pictures 27 years ago. Kristen Brooks Jones was in my youth group when I was a youth pastor 20 some years ago. Yeah. And so many others here as well. We've shared life together. And there are difficult cult days in the middle of all of that. I'm sure for Paul, he could probably be referencing just challenges and difficulties and But I tell you, what comes to the surface, just like with my children, I don't really recall the difficult days. Like I'm just moved to gratitude and joy and prayer. Trinity Community Church is in partnership with Metro. And I'm so grateful for that. And Aaron and I were both able to just share this with Trinity last week. But the reality is, while I'm grateful for Grace Partnership, the reality is I don't think we needed the formality to say now we're in partnership. We just are. We are in partnership with each other. And I'm grateful to God for you, Metro. That's good because, well, as Aaron already shared, you're not independent and we're not independent and we really don't want to be. I don't want to be independent. It's not a safe place. We're not alone. We are in a relationship and it's driven by the gospel and it has a mission and with things that we would consider of primary importance. We're doctrinally together on the same page, and I want to be known, and I want to care for you and receive care from you. And all of these things are good because Trinity can't be all that we long to be by ourselves. We truly are. We are stronger together. This brings me to point three. Gospel partnership is koinonia. And so when Paul is saying here, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel, that word partnership in the Greek is the word koinonia. It's that word that we're familiar with when in other contexts we go, oh, that means fellowship, or that means biblical fellowship. That's exactly what it means. It can be translated here because of your fellowship in the gospel. It really is getting after the same thing. The idea there in the original language is this: you've been joined together. And that's why there is this partnership in the gospel. Because of the gospel, because of your being joined together to Christ, you are now joined together to each other. And that's why we can consider ourselves, well, we are family. It's in a very real way. Boy, now this is me speaking. This is not sentiment. In a very real way. Though I don't come, I wasn't here last week. I won't be here next week. In a very real way, I walk in this morning and I feel like I'm at home. What is that? Well, that's the gospel. Because we've been joined together in Christ, we are in every way brothers and sisters in the Lord. This is koinonia. This is partnership. It speaks of the relationship. When you speak of koinonia, like understanding that word a bit, that speaks of the relationship that's shared. It's to really understand the word, you need to understand it's a mutual thing. It's not one-sided. When Paul's speaking of the partnership, he's not saying, here's my heart to you, or he's saying, here's the apostle to the church. This word koinonia speaks of this mutual, this back and forth thing. It's not like the young man, I'm going to call him Steve, and his girlfriend Laura. It's not like he's been preparing for this night out and he's going to spill a little bit. He's going to move forward in the relationship and he's not quite sure where Laura is at. He's not ready to purchase a ring, but he's hopeful for the day, and so he's going to take her out on a special night, and he's going to share his heart with her, and he's going to tell her how much, well, he's going to lead up to the phrase, I love you. And he's going to say that in hopes of something being reciprocated, and she taps him on the hand, and he says, oh, you're such a sweet guy. That's not it. That's not it. It's a mutual heart where we carry each other in our heart. That's what, that now we're unpacking this word, koinonia. And that's what partnership rooted in the gospel, I believe that's what that does. It creates that mutual heart. Where you might be driving down the road next week and you might think of Trinity, and even though you, well, as of this point, you've got a couple faces in your mind. And a number of our folks in Trinity don't know your faces, but that there's this sense of, well, I carry you in my heart. And the immediate response driving down the road is gratitude and joy. And from our hearts towards you is, let's pray. Let's pray for Metro. That's what the gospel does. As we're joined with Christ, we've been joined together. And that's the reflex that we see here from the Apostle Paul as we consider partnering together, because we truly are brothers and sisters. And nothing could bring us together, right? Nothing. How do you get this many people into a room to be focused on one thing? Like, is there any common denominator, right? Like, just thinking college football for a moment. Just, yeah, if I could just, you know, shout out a university or two and just see the division in the room. And there's just a number, like every other thing under the sun divides us. But the one unifying factor is the blood of Jesus Christ poured out into our lives, where we were once dead in our transgressions and sins, and he has made us alive in Christ Jesus. Praise be to God, right? Strike up the band. Let's worship our God together. We're brothers and sisters, having been joined together in Christ. So when I say I'm at home here, what is that? Well, that's what the gospel does. Look over Acts chapter 16. This is Paul's account of being in Philippi. Just read portions of this. So setting sail, this is verse 11. So setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. And we remained in the city some days, and on the Sabbath day we went outside to the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized, and her household as well, she urged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And she prevailed upon us. Going from there, they're walking along. They're met by the slave girl, who's really being used by some different individuals, because it seems that she has some fortune-telling abilities, and she's making money for these individuals. And it seems like Paul eventually just gets annoyed by what's going on with her. He delivers her. The individuals who are profiting from her, they're upset with him. It says verse 19, but when her owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas, dragged them to the marketplace before the rulers, for the magistrates. They will beat Paul and Silas and throw them into prison. This is Philippi. And then, of course, what do you do when you've been beaten and thrown into prison? Paul and Silas, what will they do? Verse 25, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was an earthquake, and You know the rest of the story. God, by his Spirit, miraculously frees them. Their chains fell off of them and the other prisoners as well. The Philippian jailer rushes in, sees what's taking place. He's ready to fall on his sword and kill himself. They stop him. He hears and responds to the gospel. He and his household come to faith in Jesus Christ. It's how you plant a church. If you're the Apostle Paul, that's how that plays out. But they've suffered together there in Philippi. And they've shared mission together in Philippi. Look over back to Philippians chapter 4, verse 16. Here's Paul. This is the Philippians. Here's the mutual, the partnership. He's saying to them, look, like no other church has really come to my side here in different points of being in need. No church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Verse 15. Now 16. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I've received full payment and more. I'm well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. That's the koinonia, and this koinonia, I'm saying to us this morning, is rooted in the gospel. And that is the very essence. What makes us stronger together is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The koinonia that comes out of that partnership that comes out of that. I think of it in some terms, in some sort of ways, kind of like back in college when you would be in this kind of intramural, all of a sudden you find yourself in a tug-of-war contest, like a literal tug-of-war with the mud pit in the middle. And I'm a little guy, and I seem to always find myself to be on little guy teams. Or you're looking at the other team, and you're just thinking, no way. Let me just go ahead and jump in the mud. Save you guys the effort. But one or two occasions, I can remember being in these tug of war, knowing that, there's much more girth on the other side of the mud pit, and there's no way we can win this, when someone on the weaker team brought some leadership and started to just kind of chant it out. Okay, guys, one, two, pull. One, two, pull. Everybody together, and then we would begin to pull together. And the team that should have won ended up in the mud. Stronger together because they pulled together. It's stunning to read Paul's letters and see how much ink is spilled on this idea of partnering together. Building a network, a partnership of churches. Here's a summary of Paul's efforts. Let's go from church to church, from town to town. Let's round up all the Gentile churches. And we're going to take a collection for the Jerusalem Jews who are suffering, who many of them would even be questioning their conversion. We're going to take up an offering, and we're going to care for our Jerusalem brothers and sisters. And that's what he did everywhere he went. Paul's collection was made possible and was fruitful because they were stronger together. Smaller local churches were made stronger together because of that partnership rooted in the gospel. Now, here's the question for us this morning is, to what end do we partner together? Point number 4, gospel partnership's aim is gospel advancement. Gospel advancement is what Paul bleeds. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always and in every prayer of mine, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. And a few verses later, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me, what's happened to me? What's happened to him? Well, he's suffering. He's in prison. I want you to know that what's happened to me has really served to what? Advance the gospel. Because it's become known throughout the whole imperial garden to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers are more confident in the Lord to speak the word in truth. Wow. I know you guys recently went through the book of Philippians. Was that this past year? 2 years already? Well, you noted how much joy is on the page. As you work through the book of Philippians, you see, seems like almost every other word out of Paul's mouth is joy. And you just consider that in light of where he's at, in light of what he's going through, in light of the challenge for that Philippian church to see their guy to be imprisoned and the concerns there. And yet all the joy that fills his heart as he considers this partnership. Grace partnership is not cause-driven. Causes aren't a bad thing. It's not that we don't have causes, things that we would like to see happen. But hear me, those are rooted in the gospel and the desire for the gospel to advance. Whether that be here at Metro or whether that be in Bolivia. You've heard Aaron recount just of his trips to Bolivia and just that idea. So you might think of, well, someday we want to see in Bolivia a building constructed, right? And you might think, well, that's a cause. The reality is the heart behind that. We want to see a building constructed because of the nature of things in Bolivia and the difficulties it is to go from one place to the next, as Aaron described it, to then return back to kind of home base, to then go to the next place, to then come to home base. To build one building, to bring pastors from all over different locales to one central location, to what end? To equip pastors for gospel reasons, to see the gospel advance in places that most of us will never travel to. That's partnership. The goal isn't to build a building. The goal isn't brick and mortar. The goal is to equip pastors to carry the gospel back into their local areas, to speak the gospel, to train, to equip, and to see gospel advancement. Whether that be Bolivia, Castleberry, Orlando, Titusville, Mineota, Gainesville. Gospel's partnership's aim is gospel advancement. The gospel of Jesus Christ is what Paul was about. It is what drove his entire life. It's not simply what Paul was about. It's what the entire book is about. Gospel advancement is the heart of God. Gospel advancement is why the Father sent the Son. It's why the Son went to the cross. It's why the Spirit has moved upon your hearts and brought you from death to life, from darkness to light. The gospel is the reason why you and I have come to saving faith. It is the gospel that saved you, and it's the gospel that now sends you. It's because of the gospel that not only are we saved, but it's what stirs our hearts' desire to now see the gospel advance. His kingdom marching forward. It's why we give. It's why we sacrifice. It's the reason why we seek to equip our churches. It's the reason why we do a conference just a few months back here in another part of your auditorium called What Matters Most. Seeking to equip our people, seeking to equip our leaders in the gospel. It's not one of the reasons why we exist, it's the reason we exist. Grace partnership, then, is really pretty simple. We want to see the gospel advance. In our day, we want to see the gospel advance. And we partner together to that end. So I want to read to you. It's from the, I don't know if you've had a chance to take a look at the Grace Partnership website. But I want to read to you directly from the website under the section Gospel Mission. It says this. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the foundation of who we are. The life, death, and resurrection of Jesus are the reason for the hope that is within us. The gospel of Jesus Christ not only saved us, his gospel is changing us more and more into his image. That means from the day we first believed until life's final breath, the gospel of Jesus Christ is our greatest need. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the greatest need of the world. And so the mission of sharing the good news in a variety of ways, locally and globally, is of primary importance to us. Numerous times in the New Testament, we see the difference it made when local churches would partner together in support of what was happening through the gospel somewhere else. We want to support and share in missions in ways that strengthen local churches domestically and internationally. While each local church needs to define its own calling from the Lord related to mission, there are some key ways in which we can do more and reach more together than we can on our own. Yes, there is. One of those was already announced this morning. This summer, there will be mission trips to different locations, and we will get to partner together on those mission trips. I'm so excited to have Trinity folks to be on a mission trip with Metro folks. Getting to know each other, building a relationship to such that when we return home, like, our hearts are for each other. More significantly, prior to the trip, I encourage you towards those trips and to get signed up immediately, as Aaron announced. The gospel is what drove this partnership between Paul and the Philippians. And the gospel is what drove the partnership between Paul and the Corinthians, or Paul and the Ephesians, or Paul and the Colossians. The gospel is what Paul bleeds. It's what drives him. Let me ask us this morning. What drives you? What drives you? There's nothing wrong with having a cause, but ask yourself, is it the gospel that drives me? Are you bleeding something less than the gospel? Are you investing in the local partnership here? There's a partnership in this room this morning. Not speaking of Grace Partnership, speaking of Metro's partnership, you, are you participating? Whatever you call them here, home groups, community groups, fellowship groups, right? All the different groups. Like, are you participating in the life of the church here in this partnership? Are you investing in this local partnership here? And out of that, are you investing in Grace Partnership? How does the gospel of Jesus Christ, how does the gospel stir your heart for Grace Partnership? So I'm clear, I'm all for causes and I'm all for drives, but we are called, all of us are called to this higher calling. And so we pray. We pray, Christ, I want you to be made known. I want you to be made known. My desire for Metro, God, make yourself known in the surrounding communities, in the places that you call home, in your neighborhoods, in your coffee shops, in your grocery stores, the places that you frequent on a regular basis, on the waiters and the waitresses and the local aspect, that the gospel would be advancing here in your communities. And we pray widely. We pray for our brothers and sisters in India, in Bolivia, and in the Netherlands. We pray, God, please open the floodgates in our day. God, move upon our cities and the places that we call home, that the gospel would be advancing in every nation, in every tongue, in every place. We pray about the gospel, and we celebrate that very gospel, and we speak about the gospel. We speak the gospel to ourselves, and we speak the gospel to each other, and we speak the gospel to the lost, and we do all of that for His glory alone. His glory alone. Let's pray together. Well, God, we say, Lord, hear our hearts this morning. Lord, pause momentarily to do that very thing rather than talking about prayer. Lord, I pray for Metro this morning. Lord, I thank you for the team of elders that leads this church, and I know their heart. I know the heart of the people here. Lord, hear our heart's desire. We desire to see your gospel advancing in our communities. Father, I pray for our church back home in Titusville and the surrounding communities there, Lord, and our heart's desire as we consider 2018. Lord, we recognize our weaknesses. Lord, we recognize places and times and ways that we might be fearful. Lord, hear our heart's desire. And perhaps even in 2018, in ways that we have not seen prior, Lord, we would ask you, Lord, would you move among our midst in such a way that we could say, oh Lord, we are visibly watching the advancement of your kingdom. Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters in Bolivia and India and Netherlands. And we pray for brothers and sisters we've not yet met in locations we've not yet traveled to or seen. Lord God, we lift up our brothers and sisters in Gainesville and Minnesota. Lord, we pray for them and we pray gospel advancement. Hear our heart's desire for the nations to come to know you. Lord, do a work in our day that is we simply have to stand back and say, humanly speaking, we couldn't accomplish that. Your spirit must move. Lord, we pray for your church in Jesus' name. Amen.
Tim, buddy, you are such a sweet guy. I love listening to you preach. Absolutely love listening to you preach. If you caught it, everything Tim's talking about, we were experiencing as he was preaching because of relationship, because of history. And if time permitted, we could tell you, it didn't start there. This could be your first Sunday here. You could be very uncertain about this group of people. Well, the first time Tim and Danny sat down, they weren't so sure of each other either. And yet here we are, all these years later. And you created work for me. I feel like there's a part two to this for next week. So thanks for that. I appreciate that, Tim. May I ask you to come back and finish it up? So many things come to mind, but just a few briefly. I don't know that I can go a day in my life without seeing partnership in some real way. Right now I have Matt Frank living in my house. And his friend, and my friend, and a friend of many of you, Tyler Corson, who is Phil Corson's son, Phil and Kay, who used to be here, who planted a church out of here in Gainesville. Tyler spent the night at my house last night too, so till like 12:30 in the morning, with a fire going, we're playing Jackbox TV. You You should play that if you haven't. But where's it all come from? How did Matt even end up in our house? Well, he was going to Gulf Coast Community Church in St. Petersburg. Oh, a church we have relationship and partnership with. And then he was going to school at UF, Go Gators. That's the team of Metro Life Church. Keep moving, keep moving, keep moving. Keep moving. How did he hear about that? He heard about Abundant Grace Community Church in Gainesville because of the relationship the pastor in St. Petersburg has with the pastor in Gainesville, who then, when he has an internship in Orlando, says, call that guy Aaron. Somehow Tyler ends up eating our food last night. That's how partnership works. And it's glorious, and it's good, and it's beautiful. And I love it. You know, last week when I was in Titusville at Trinity, this happens as pastors regularly. You know, you work on your sermon, you prepare, you pray over it, and then you realize the thing that you really hadn't planned to say is what ends up speaking the most. And that's what happened last week, I think, as I shared with Trinity the update on Danny's health. It mattered to them. They rejoiced. They applauded that Danny's health is so much better now than it was in 2011. Why? Because of partnership. Because they love him. Because we're in this together. It matters. It's not just what we do. It's how we're doing. It matters. And Tim said something. This is where I want to land this. For right now, I mean, yes, I'll say what I'm not saying. I'd love for you to all go on the webpage, and if you're not already giving faithfully and generously to Grace Partnership, I'd love you to do that too. Sure. But you know what? A partnership is only as strong as local churches. Well, guess what about local churches? Local churches are only as strong as the family that is that local church. And I wonder if for some of us today, partnership isn't out there. It isn't Grace Partnership today. It's just partnering with some people right here. Because as Tim said, this is true of a church, it's true as individuals. Independence is not a safe place. You cannot be all you want to be on your own. And if you've been on the fringes or you've been working through something as an individual, as a couple, and you've really been kind of doing it alone, is it time today to partner with God, with the Spirit, but with some others? And I believe the Lord wants to encourage you. I think it comes back to where we started today, this sameness idea, that you just need a fresh infusion of faith that something will change by the grace of God this year. So I would encourage you to start partnering today by coming forward for prayer with people who are ready to pray for you. Where you're coming up to say, I'm not going to keep doing this by myself. I can't be what God wants me to be by myself. So I'm going to partner beginning in prayer. I'm going to get real with some people in prayer. We're going to believe God to meet you in that. Amen? Because Grace Partnership is only strong as the churches, but the churches, Metro Life Church, is only as strong as we are individually. Your life, my life, our life matters collectively to see this glorious gospel go forward. Because we don't want to just tell them, right? We want to show them. We want people to see Jesus really makes a difference in our lives. We change by his power. We can confess our weakness. We can get around people and say, I need you. I need a partner to walk with me through this. So grab the book, go online, sure. Come and be prayed for, okay? Tim, thank you for your friendship, your preaching, your partnership. Thank you. So please come forward if you find yourself in that category. God bless you. Happy New Year. We'll see you next week.